James chapter 5, we're going to look at two places, we're going to land there at the end. James 5, we're going to look at verse 16, and then James chapter 1. James 5, and then James chapter 1. You can hold two places there. Can I level with you guys? I love you guys. And I have seen great things that has come from you. I see the generous spirit of being a giver and a helper and pursuing those that are in need. I see the humble spirit of being willing to receive correction and guidance from a crazy guy like me. I see a renewed sense of passion, and I'm speaking over the past couple years or so. I see an emphasis and a focus on the kingdom, and you guys are a blessing, and God is doing a lot of things in you. But have you ever made something, made a meal, and realized you left one thing out? Doesn't taste right. Have you ever been the person who wasn't so bright that you ate a meal that someone else made you and you realized something was missing and then you said it? Don't look at me like that. I don't do that. And you live to tell the story. You ever feel like something's missing? Things might be going well. Good. There might be some good things to look at, but have you ever just felt like something's missing? It's just something that's not there. And again, there are going to be two perspectives that someone's going to come at the working of the Spirit. Some of you come from that position of insecurity that you think that you can't offer anything, that you're not capable because of who you are, what you've done, what you've been through, then if you think that, you make God out to be a liar. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can do that. It's the Holy Spirit through me, but you are capable of hearing from God, walking in the movement of the Spirit, operating in the gifts of the Spirit, impacting people's lives, living in victory and freedom. You are capable of that. Otherwise, God is a liar. It doesn't matter your age or what you've done or your skills or what you know or how many friends you have on Facebook. It's irrelevant. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. But I think perhaps the other thing that we need to hear coming from the other angle, have you ever had someone say, some of you might be doing this and some of you might be doing this, and you think, I'm doing both of those. Perhaps that's some of you. But I was standing over there and the Lord was directing me to say this next thing that he wants me to say. And some of our songs we sang about freedom. Walking in that freedom the Holy Spirit gives. And some of us claim that we're walking in that. If you're walking in freedom and in the power of the Holy Spirit, then why are you still afraid? Serious question. Because if the Holy Spirit's working within us, we do not fear the world or the enemy or the things that go on in our body. If I'm truly free, why am I afraid? Why do I lack boldness when the Holy Spirit says to go and say? Why do I lack boldness if I'm truly free? If I'm truly free, why am I still struggling with that sin, flesh issue that I'm still struggling with? If the Holy Spirit is functioning within me, then where is my freedom? And wouldn't you like to walk in that freedom? Instead of, I think sometimes we try to convince ourselves that it's there when it's not. We try to convince ourselves, no, I know I spoke in tongues one time. I know I had that experience one time. And so I know that I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. But what in your life is demonstrating that the Holy Spirit is working in you? Don't try to convince yourself that it's there. Find it and walk in it and learn how to live in the working of the Holy Spirit. Do you want that stuff to be missing still? And there's something within us, it's weird how we can be both insecure and arrogant at the same time. Because we're hurting on the inside and we know that things aren't what they should be and we're struggling, but when someone comes along and says, then it might be you. It might be that you're not flowing with the Holy Spirit. And then there's something within us that wants to say, you're wrong. No, there's nothing wrong with me. And I'm here to tell you today, there's something wrong with me. And some of you are thinking, yeah, we already knew that. Heather for sure knows that. But I don't mean in a crazy, loopy sense. I mean, you know that there's something wrong with you. Something's missing. And I would rather walk in the fullness of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in my life than to continue to walk in fear and insecurities and lack of boldness and inability to overcome those sort of things. I want to walk in the victory of that, don't you? But as we talked about last week, we're blinded. There are things that we don't even realize that we're not seeing. And the more that we claim that we know, that's the more we show that we're blind. Because the person who knows realizes how much they don't know. The person who has actually gotten into God's presence realizes how much more there is in there that has still yet to be explored. So how do I get rid of this blindness, especially if I can't see it? How do I start to see what the Spirit is doing and hear what the Spirit is saying? A few references for you. And if you want the references and you don't get them quick enough, you can text me or call me. I'd be glad to give you them. You can have the notes if you'd like. But Psalm 119, verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That is, that it's the scripture that begins to give light to me that I can begin to see. And so part of the reason why some of you are blind is because you don't touch the book. And when you do touch it, you just stay in Proverbs and you don't go anywhere else. I love Proverbs. Proverbs is a good book. Or some of you, you just get stuck in Revelation over and over and over and over again. And you don't receive the full counsel of God. Or some of you said, well, I read that book, so I'm done. You're never done with reading this book. You don't fully understand yet. And the more you get into it and you dissect it and you consume it and then it begins to consume you, you begin to see things that you couldn't see before. And so it starts there. I have to be in God's Word. It's any wonder why we struggle sometimes, why we don't have the power in our lives, why we don't see, because we're not getting that light unto our feet and unto our path. So I need the Word to be able to see. Secondly, Isaiah prophesies, and Matthew picks it up in Matthew 4:16, referring to Jesus, the people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. And then Jesus would say later, John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Whoever follows him. And you see, follow him is not when you were 8 years old and you prayed that sinner's prayer. It's not following Jesus. Following Jesus isn't showing up and going to a church service. It's not following Jesus. Following Jesus is when you realize that he told you to behave a certain way or do something or refrain from certain things. Following Jesus is when you do that. You do what he told you to do. But I'm amazed. I mean, you think about this. If you have someone in your life that every time you say, can you do this for me? Can you do this for me? They always say no, 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 no. Then when they come to you and say, hey, would you do this for me? In the flesh, what do you really want to do? Do you want to do what they want you to do? I mean, when your kids are going crazy, do you really want to give them some fun time when they're crazy? When your neighbor is not being the nicest person in the world, or your boss, Do you really want to comply with what they're telling you to do? But I don't know why it is that we don't do what Jesus tells us to do, and then we're surprised that we don't understand, that we don't have the power, that we don't have the things that God wants to do in our lives, because we're not actually following Jesus. You see, it's not those other things. It's following Jesus that results in there being light. And I can see. And it's not just that. Have you ever done, anybody ever thought that you were like Gideon? You know, Gideon throws the fleece out, says, here, I'm going to test and see if this is real, then I'll try it. God doesn't want you to test and see if it's real first. God wants you to jump in. Because like I said last week, you can't evaluate and test the spirits unless you've experienced it first. And so I have to go in there and walk. And I can't just say, well, okay, God, so I did this for a day. Now, will you speak to me? You can't just tomorrow decide you're going to sit down for 15 minutes and listen to God and then say, I can't believe God didn't listen to me because I gave him 15 minutes of my time. Do you really want him to speak to you? Then I have to be in his word. I have to be following Jesus. Isaiah 42:12 says, and I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know. Hear that. Things that I don't know, that I don't realize, he leads me in paths that they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light. Some of you have a hard time hearing the Spirit because when he says to do it, you don't do it. Well, you think too much. Now, don't misunderstand me, because we know we need to test the spirits, but some of you think too much in the wrong direction. You try to talk yourself out of it. Well, but, you know, that might not be the right way to say that. Well, they might be mad at me. Well, I don't know them that well. Well, it might not be the right time. Well, I don't feel good. Well, I don't. Anybody ever done that before? Well, I. And then before you know it, the opportunity passes, and you didn't listen, and you are in darkness. When you choose to not listen, you choose to invite more darkness in your life, and then you wonder, why don't I see this? Why don't I understand? Why don't I hear the things that other people hear? Because I'm not consuming Scripture constantly. I'm not obeying Jesus. I'm not going with the Holy Spirit, all the things that give light to me. Then Jesus says in Matthew 5:14-16, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works. We'll get to this in a moment, but some of you, you're afraid about accountability. Some of you are afraid to have someone question you. You're afraid to let things out there to be exposed by others for whatever reason. And I'm telling you, the more you test things with others, like I said, that Facebook group, that discernment support group, I encourage you to jump on there. We're waiting to see how many people jump in before we do anything with it. But either through that or through friends, take, you thought you heard from God yesterday and you did such and such with it. Take that to other people and say, this is what I thought I heard. This is what I did. What do you think of that? Not that they're going to be right, but the more I ask questions and the more I converse with believers, and we're supposed to be dependent upon one another. You're not going to become the complete picture unless you're a part of the picture, which is the group. And so the more I discuss and I interact and I ask questions and I listen and I discern, the more light comes in and the more I can see. Haven't you ever had that aha moment when you're talking with someone and you're saying what you're thinking and they're saying stuff back to you and all of a sudden you think, why didn't I think of it that way? Why didn't I see what they saw? And that's because you let your light shine before men. When we're shining light on one another, it gets brighter and brighter and no longer are there blind spots. I can see and hear and walk in what the Holy Spirit is doing. But are you willing to do that? Are you willing to constantly consume Scripture, follow Jesus, follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, and listen to others? Paul says, Ephesians 5:8-10, walk as children of light and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Try. Be careful when someone thinks that they have God's mouth. Just because you got it right a few moments ago and heard from God doesn't mean the next impulse you have is God. Just because God has mightily used you before doesn't mean that every one of your movements is God. We kind of get that impression. I see people do that all the time, where we got it right once, so now we think we're perfect, and we just hear it right all the time, instead of remaining humble and realizing this is still a try thing. This is still an effort thing. This is still I recognize that I'm still in this stinking, lousy body. Aren't you tired of this body sometimes? And I don't mean the way it kicks you around because of your aches and pains. I mean the way that it drags you into things like Paul says in Romans 7 that you want no part of. But you keep struggling with that. You keep losing your temper. You keep being lazy and not jumping into things that you're supposed to do. You keep being apt towards fear. We keep giving into the flesh. This body is so irritating. And the more I recognize that I'm still in this body and I need to realize that there's still a pull in me. And because of that, I can't trust myself. I have to constantly go to the scripture to evaluate everything. I have to surrender and trust that if Jesus said to do it, I'm going to do it, even if it's not comfortable. If the Holy Spirit says to do it, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to rely on the voices of other faithful followers of Jesus to gain perspective so that I can walk in the light. This is no easy thing. And I would much rather know that I'm following the direction of the Spirit than some imaginary friend or my own thoughts. We sometimes project our thoughts on God. I don't want to do what I think is best. What good is that? I mean, really, what good is it if I do what I think is best? I want to know what God... I mean, where's the victory? Where's the freedom in that? I can't create victory and freedom. There's no power in me unless I do. I want to know His voice, so I have to do the work to do that. I have to do the work of trying to discern to get there. It was upside down for a second there. Jesus said in John 3, verse 19 through 21, "And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." Sometimes we don't go to the light because we realize what's being exposed. You begin to see things. Have you ever done that before? You begin to walk in deeper into God's presence, and you begin to see things about yourself that's ugly. So you walk away from it. That doesn't feel good. And you choose to step back into darkness because it feels uncomfortable. And I'm telling you, be comfortable in this space where you're wrong. Be comfortable being in this space before God where you've messed it all up. Be comfortable being in this space where you don't have it all figured out and you don't have all the answers. Be comfortable in that space, because in that space is where the building that we've structured and built up gets torn down, and I begin to know the real voice rather than my voice that I've put there. Be comfortable in that place. Don't run. Notice that tendency in yourself. Because if you want to know the freedom of the Spirit and you want to operate in that, stop running from it when it shows up and it's not comfortable. Because then I'll remain in darkness. Jesus says in Matthew 6, 22 and 23, startling, listen to these startling statements. "The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness?" Whether or not I can see with a spiritual eye determines how much I'm in darkness and can't understand. And the question is, when He shines the light, do you jump in or do you run for cover? When he begins to move, do you? Because sometimes the Lord does things that we don't like. Sometimes the Lord does things that's intimidating. Sometimes the Lord does things that are weird. Now, don't misunderstand. Not every weird thing is God either. People do a lot of weird things, and it's not God. They thought it was, but it really is just kind of excitement buzz or something. Do you know we get excited sometimes? People get excited, and they go crazy, and they jump around. Not that jumping around's wrong, but I don't want just hype and enthusiasm. The move of the Holy Spirit, and when he comes and you're afraid of that and you walk away, don't start asking the question, why doesn't he speak to me? Because when he came and began to speak, you went back into your shell, into darkness. So what does it do for me if I begin to discern? John 11:10, but if anyone walks in the light, in the night, that is. If anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. Why are you struggling with sin and your flesh issues? Because you're not in the light. The more I'm in the light, the more I know and can hear and see clearly, I don't stumble in sin. That's what it says. If I'm walking in the light, I do not stumble. John 1, verse 4 and 5, in him, in Jesus, was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You want to be overcomers? Walk in the light of the Holy Spirit, and you overcome. 2 Corinthians 4:5, the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness, and will disclose the purposes of the heart, which is perhaps the most frightening thing for us. Is when the Holy Spirit does begin to shine light, he shows your true motives to yourself. And are you willing to embrace when the Holy Spirit shows you the whole picture? Or do I want to just keep going back in darkness? Where the fear is, where the bondage is, where the lack of freedom is, why do I keep struggling? Why do I keep having a difficult time? Why can't I hear? Because I keep walking back in the darkness. Do you want to stay there? Are you tired of something being missing? Don't you want to walk in the freedom and the life of the Holy Spirit? No matter how boring it could be, no matter how crazy it could be, I don't care what it looks like. If it's God, I want it, don't you? And tired of having that being missing, the amazing work of the Holy Spirit. So this is where James comes into the picture. 1 James 5:16. James 5:16 says, let us confess our sins to one another. Not let us confess our sins to God, though we should do that. Let us confess our sins to one another. Do you know what that means? That means God wants you to become open, to be willing to let other people see that you failed, to let other people see that you struggle with that thing that you struggle with, to let other people see that. Because in that, it says that if we confess our sins to one another, we will be healed. That's where the healing, the victory, the freedom, the power, the life begins to come from, is when I become open. But some of us are afraid of that. Some of us are very much a closed book. Last week when I blocked off some of those back pews, I'm a people watcher, and I love to watch and see what are they going to do when they see their ropes there. And I won't say who, but I knew the people that thought, I have to sit closer to other people. I'm leaving. Because we don't like to be close. Some of us, for some reason. We don't like to be present. We don't like to talk and share our feelings and share our thoughts and share what we're going through and share our struggles with other people. For whatever reason, we're afraid that they'll think less of us. We're afraid that they'll gossip about us. We're afraid, I don't know. But wouldn't you rather trust Jesus more than what other people are going to do with that information? Let us confess our sins to one another. Some of us, the reason why we're not there is because we're not open. We're not open to each other because they might hurt us. They might wrong us. They might not be there still to support us when I need them. They might not, whatever. it is they may or may not do. And we're afraid. And again, you're darkening what the Holy Spirit wants to do because you're not open. Stop trying to act like you're put together. Stop trying to act like you're all that. Stop trying to act like you figured it out. Stop trying to act like you're amazing and you always can hear what God is saying and you never experience a moment of confusion. Stop trying to act like that. You're never going to actually become that if you don't admit you're not that. Okay? If you want to be that, then say that you know you're not that yet. I am, you are a work in progress. I mean, I don't think any of you have been like Enoch yet, where God just snatched you out of this earth and took you up because you were so close to him. As far as I can see, you're still sitting in that pew. You want victory, you want freedom, open yourself up. Then, James 1. I mean, I'm tired of ordinary, plain, just going through the motions routine, supposed Christianity. If you're a follower of Jesus, there's power and there's something that's displayed on the inside and outside of you, and I'm tired of not seeing the power. James 1, 22 through 25. And James is kind of, some people like to read James because James is the kind of person who just like punches you in the gut. You know, you think you got it all together, boom, you stink. That's kind of how James is. He just kind of hits you the whole time. James 1, verse 22. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Do you hear that? If I am just listening and I'm not doing, I'm walking in that darkness of deception. Verse 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. It has no effect. I don't even remember it anymore when it's the person who just listens and doesn't do. Verse 25. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres. Okay, so this is where it can't just be I push in a little bit. I think some of us think that the Holy Spirit move is like a microwave. If I just put it in for a couple minutes, it'll be hot and ready to eat. The Holy Spirit's not like that. The Holy Spirit's not given to our whims of whenever we decide we want him to show up. The Holy Spirit's working in the life of a person that's in it all the time. Persevering, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. He will be blessed in his doing. You want to be blessed by God? You want the fullness of the move of God? Do the word. And I'm perplexed and confused. Because why is it that I witness so many people that claim Christian, claim followers of Jesus, and I don't see them doing the stuff? Why aren't we doing the stuff? Is it because I didn't know it was in there? That it told me to be in fellowship? That it told me to share my faith? That it told me to seek his face? That it told me to stay away from sin? Why is it that I'm not doing it? Because I didn't see it in there? Why am I not doing it? Am I not doing it because I didn't understand? I didn't think that that's what that meant? Where's the disconnect? Because we're hearing it and we're not doing it. Where's the disconnect? What happened? I mean, I'm serious. Are we not reading it? Are we not applying it? Do I not think that, am I not understanding what it's truly saying? Am I just living in rebellion and deciding I'm not going to do it? Why am I not doing the stuff in the book? Why am I not doing it? Because you will never find victory. You will never find power. You will never find the fullness of the move. God might throw you a bone from time to time again. But if you want to know the fullness of that victory, then I need to do what it says. Without question, without catering to my flesh and what I want, I need to do what it says. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? And Joe, if you would lead us in here in your presence again. Where's Carol at? Is she in here? There she is. You're in a different spot. Someone took your seat, I guess. Carol, to describe the various pastors in this church, past and present, she'll use their a particular drinking device. And as you know, I'm constantly carrying a water bottle with me everywhere I go to stay hydrated. There's just water in there. Because she said that sometimes I can be cool and refreshing and sometimes I could be hot. I don't know if that's a compliment or if an insult. I think you meant it as a compliment. And sometimes God wants to do that. Sometimes God wants to give us the still peace of the comfort that He can bring in the midst of our storms and anxiety. But sometimes He wants to rattle the cage. I have a sense that God wants to shake some of us up, if not all of us. Because we're stuck. We're stuck. We're not doing. We're not moving. We're not doing the stuff God has called. We're not hearing. We're calling stuff God that isn't God. Because we know them by their fruits. Okay, so if you claim that you hear and know the stuff of God and you're not doing the stuff in the book, you don't have a handle on God's voice. And are you tired of having that thing missing? Are you tired of that? Are you willing to just come down to these altars and surrender and say, just shake me up, Lord. Shake me to the core and get this stuff out of me, and whatever that means, whatever that looks like, I want it. So I just ask you to begin to come. If that's you, if you know that you've not been doing the stuff that leads to light, that leads to being able to see, if you've not been doing the stuff, then come and say, today I'm going to do the stuff, Lord. And I'm going to do it with perseverance. I'm not just going to do it for a moment. I'm just not going to do it for a few minutes or a few days or a few weeks. I'm going to do it for a lifetime. I'm coming after you, Jesus. Coming after you. Or maybe you're here and you're the one that you're so closed off. You let some things know that are casual, just chit-chat stuff, but you don't let yourself be known. And you're asking the Lord to give you the courage to be open, to confess your sins to one another. Or maybe you're here today and you're one of those that you've not been doing the stuff. Listen, we have avenues to provide you teaching. If you're struggling with understand it, come and see me. We'll help you. We'll guide you. But if you're saying, I'm done. I'm done with the not doing what it says. I want to throw myself at the feet of Jesus and say, come, fill me to overflowing with the Holy Spirit and do whatever you wish. Come, let's seek Him. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Since we need to try this out for a moment, find one person to confess to. Doesn't mean need to be a deep, dark sin. It could just be a struggle. It could be apathy. It could be, I don't know. But I want to encourage you to find one person here to open up to and then have them pray for you and you pray for them. And let's let this healing begin to flow. It's not going to flow unless we start doing this stuff. So go ahead and find someone and open up to them. Lord, help us. Go ahead. If I'm praying, that's fine. Go ahead and you can move. Lord, help us to open up. Help us to open up, Lord. Let us confess our sins to one another and we will be healed. The healing flow of the Holy Spirit will come in if we confess, if we're open. So Lord, come on now. Begin to let your Spirit move. Begin to let your Spirit move. Oh, let healing come. Let fear dissipate. Let forgiveness show up. Oh, let purity and righteousness flow within us. Renew our minds, Lord. Shake out apathy. Shake out distractions. Shake out flesh. Shake out worldliness, Lord. Heal us. Heal us. Hallelujah. 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 I feel like the Lord's starting something. But in large part, it's up to you. How far we carry along with the wave of the Holy Spirit depends on you. Whether or not we'll jump into that river and go with the flow of what he's doing depends on us. And I can do all things through him who strengthens me. All things. All things. And these things that the Lord has given me lately, the intention isn't to make anyone feel insecure. The intention is to make sure that they know the real thing. That you actually have the victory and have the power and have the right relationship with him and have that stuff. I want the real thing. Amen? The real thing. So next week, I believe, though he's been spontaneous with me lately, sometimes the Lord acts like Heather, spontaneous and free, and which is great. Just some of us that are more rigid need a little adjustment to that. But I think over the next couple weeks, we're going to start to learn what does flesh actually look like? Because I can't discern between flesh and spirit if I don't know what flesh looks like. And listen, flesh isn't just sin. There's a lot more to what flesh is. And I can't hear the voice of the Spirit if I don't recognize the flesh tendencies in me. And we all are different. We all have different issues and different tendencies. And unless I can identify what I'm up against and be aware and alert and fight the fight, I'm not going to have victory. And so looking forward to seeing what the Lord's going to show us. It might be like that verse said, when that light comes, don't go running back into the darkness. Just embrace that, okay, so I'm a mess. I'm not saying stay a mess. I mean, just embrace, okay, I'm a mess there, and I'm ready to let the Lord do something about it. Amen? Aren't you excited?